Turn to 1 John chapter 1. I'll catch up with you in just a second, Lord willing. 1 John chapter 1. I want to read a verse in Micah. I dealt the other day with the thought of the person in the pew. What does God expect out of the ordinary person, the average person, his child, the person sitting in the pew? I say it again, I'm not talking to anybody else other than you. I hope the message applies to all of us. I believe it will. We'll listen. I know it will. But I am speaking to you. So many times we talk about the preacher and what the preacher is supposed to do, and most of the time that's the truth. But it isn't just the preacher that the Lord's interested in. If it was, why in the world does a preacher preach? I mean, we can just get together and talk to each other. We preach because you need it. And I am glad. It's not all bad, by the way. You may think so. That's what I thought. But anyway, it is every once in a while good. And even the bad has a good goal. But in Micah, they're talking about, discussing, well, what does God want? And the man of God says, well, does he want me to give this type of offering or the other type of offering? What about giving my firstborn? And then in chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. If you want to know what God wants, it's in that verse. If you want to know what God wants from you and of you, it's in that verse. To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Look last time at the fact that he said, he have showed thee, O man, the fact that God wants us to have a supernatural conversion. We all are human and in need of salvation, need of forgiveness. And he wants everyone to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Lord wants you to be saved, to be forgiven. But notice in this verse also, it says to walk humbly with thy God. And I think that tells me that not only does God want from you and of you a supernatural conversion, but he also expects all of us to have a sweet communion, to walk with the Lord. That communion, that joining together, there's more too, and I'll say a whole lot more about this subject than just praying. Even though praying is a part of our communication with the Lord, there's a whole lot more involved with communicating with the Lord and walking with him than us just praying. So there's a whole lot more than just asking and receiving. It is this idea of sensing his presence all the time. Remember my friend Ralph, I had as a young boy, some of you remember, I had an imaginary friend named Ralph, and everywhere I went, Ralph went with me. And we played together, we got along, because he always agreed with me. I was always right as far as Ralph was concerned. And we get out in the woods and we play army or soldier or cowboy or whatever. And I'd talk to Ralph just like he was there. And everything I did, I would communicate and connect and include Ralph. But Ralph really wasn't there. But I have a friend that walks with me and he's there. And our life ought to be just like me and Ralph. He ought to be, the Lord ought to be your best friend, and you sense him all the time, no matter what you're going through. That kind of closeness is what he's wanting from you. Not just the preacher or the pastor, but from you as his child. So in 1 John 1, I want to read some verses that I think will apply to our thought this evening. Notice what it says, 1 John verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of Life. He is talking about the Lord, the Word of Life, walking in flesh. And notice what he talks about. We have heard and we have seen and we have looked upon and we have even touched him. For the life which was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Again in verse 3 it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Notice, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. He talks here about fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That communion that I'm trying to talk about tonight. What does God want from you? He wants you to have a sweet communion with him. Notice what it says in verse 1. That says that we have heard and seen and we looked on and our hands handled. That means they were there with him and communicating with him. And there is to be a connection between you and your Savior. The Bible talks about, remember, God can use any word he wants to. And he can use any word picture he wants to. He can use any example he wants to. But when it came to the communication, the connection, the reunion and relationship of him and his children, you, he used marriage. That closeness, that communion. There is a closeness connection. Could I say this? I say it carefully. I'm on first name basis with God. I do not say that easily or flippantly, but I know him and he knows me, and he likes it that way. He wants us to be close to him. There's a closeness involved. There's a connection involved. I say again, it's more than just talking with him. But it's communing with him. It's more than being distant and mechanical. He's a God way up there somewhere that I can talk to and hope he's listening and hope he sees what I'm going through. Oh, no, he's a God that walks right beside you and even lives in you. There's a connection involved. I am glad for that. When we think about the marriage, we think about closeness. There's nothing dirty about it or vulgar about it. It's beautiful. There's a connection. It's two people with no restrictions, completely open to each other. It is more than the Creator and the creation, even though I am that. And it's more than the Master and the servant, even though I am that. But he is my husbandman, and I am his bride. There's a connection involved. There's a closeness involved. And it ought to be our desire to walk with him closely. The Bible says in Micah, walk with me. That's what I want. I want a close communion, a sweet communion. The psalmist said like this, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He says, I just want to be with you. I just want to be close to you. And if that desire isn't there, there's something wrong. If you don't have an appetite for food, it shows there's a problem somewhere. And if we don't have an appetite for him, it shows there's a problem somewhere. I say there's no sweeter time than the time we spend with him and recognizing his presence. I say just talk to him. That's one thing we get mixed up about prayer. We think we have to go to him with certain words, with a certain attitude. He said, come boldly. And that doesn't mean I prance up and make my order. But what it does mean is I can go to him and say anything that's on my heart. Lord, I'm going through something, and I just need some help. I'm discouraged today. I'm burned today. I'm troubled today. I'm tired today. I'm confused today. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. I'm talking about that kind of closeness, that kind of communication, that kind of love for each other, where you know you can just go to Him and say whatever's on your heart. I think it would be good every once in a while. I did it already today. Just to say, Lord, it sure is a pretty day. Even though it was a little nippy. Just talk to Him like He's your friend, because He is your friend. And you don't have to get on your knees to do that. You can do it anywhere, anytime. The lady in the Song of Solomon said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. I tell you what, that's a nice story, but he is saying, I want you to love me that much, and I want us to be that close. Oh, my. He's never too busy for you to call Him. I've never called on Him and found Him busy. Or on the other line, or screening His calls. He has never ignored me or shunned me. I'm glad. Hey, I tell you what. He says, come to me anytime you want to. Now, hey, try that with some of your friends. Now, some people really mean it. They say, come by anytime. But most of them don't mean that. What they mean is you better call first. And if I pick up the phone and if the house is clean and if the kids ain't screaming, then you can come by for 5 or 10 minutes. But with him, he says, come anytime. I'm never too busy for you. I'm talking tonight about a squeak communion. Could I say first? It's something that's irrational. It doesn't make a lick of sense. Look at what it says in verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands and handled of the word of life. Now they said that, and it was true. They had seen Him, and they did hear Him, and they did walk with Him, and they did touch Him. But I haven't. Newsflash, neither have you. I'm talking about having a close communion, a sweet communion with somebody I have never, ever even seen. Could I say that really isn't rational? But it's still real. It's something that's irrational. It really doesn't make sense, but who cares if it makes sense or not? Who cares if it's logical or not? It works. And he says, I want us to be close. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard we declare we unto you. Well, they had, but we haven't. In fact, 1 Peter 1:8 makes it clear, whom having not seen, ye love. I can't help it. Andy, spirituality comes up right now. Remember the man that called Mayberry his hometown? If you don't know this, bless your heart. If you don't have enough sense about Andy to know this, you're missing a big part of life. But the man came to town and he said, this is my hometown. And he had this girl that he had been reading about. And Andy's talking to him and he says, I love her. And then he says, you ain't never met her. No, but you love her. Yeah, you've never seen her. No, but I love her. Well, that's kind of chuckly with Andy, but it's true of my Savior. I ain't never seen him, but I love him. And I have sensed his presence and enjoyed his voice and enveloped in his love so often. Then I'll tell you what, I'm glad I know a little bit and I long to know more about sweet communion. It's irrational. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to love somebody you've never have seen, but He is the one we can love whether we've seen Him or not. the greatest and most intense relationship you'll ever have on earth is supposed to be with Him. It's real. It's more real than any other relationship you have. It's something that is irrational. Look in verse 3 again. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship, shorten it, is with the Son and the Father. Whoa. Did you get that? Him and me. Him and me. What in the world was He thinking about? What in the world was He thinking about when He said, I want to love you and I want you to love me and I want us to be close and I want you to know I'm here and I'm available and I love you and I want to spend time with you and I want you to walk with me and I want you to know I'm always there. I want to tell you one thing. It's not only, listen, irrational, it's incredible that He would love me, but He does. And He's not satisfied with a distant relationship. Andy, terminology again. Who was it that said, I can't go all the way to Mount Pilot to date the girl? What was it, 8 miles long distance? Oh, hey, he didn't love her much. But he says, I don't want a distant relationship. I want us to be close. I want you to love me, and you know that I love you. And I want us to demonstrate it by how we treat each other. It's irrational. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to love somebody you've never seen. It's incredible that the fact that He would love me. That's why the lady in the Song of Solomon says, because of thy Savior, thy good ointments, thy name is like ointment poured forth. Like a bottle of perfume that smells so good, and you take the lid off and just put a little dab. And Jesus says, oh, listen, that ain't enough. That smells good, and I'm refreshed, and I enjoy it. But when I think about you, oh, I need more than a little dab behind my ears. I need to pour the whole thing out. I just keep wanting more and more and more and more. When I get a little bit, it makes me want more. I tell you, we need a sweet communion. That's what He wants from you, the person on the pew. It's irrational, and it's something that's incredible. Verse 5 says, and this is the message which ye have heard of Him. Heard of Him. He's the one that initiated the conversation. He's the one that spoke first. He's the one came looking for me. I tell you one thing, I didn't know it, but I was searching for Him. I just didn't know it. I was needing Him, but I didn't know it. But He said, He came and showed me, I've been the one you've been looking for. Oh, what a good God we have. It's not only irrational and incredible, but it's intimate, it's close. It's something He says to us, to you personally. We are servants, we are stewards, we are sons, we are sheep, but we're also spouse. It's a close communion. There's a connection. You can't be intimate without being close. That's a good word, by the way. It's not a scary word. That's what He wants. He wants us to be intimate with Him, close to Him. Opened up. The word intimate is not something vile. It's where you open up completely with no walls, no restriction, no hindrance, no reluctance. Completely open up to the one you love. And they do the same. And that's the kind of sweet communion that He wants with us, where there's nothing hidden, there's nothing reserved, there's nothing hindering. It's something intimate. Verse 4 says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He says, by the way, I'll tell you why I'm writing this. Where you'll have joy, and you'll have more joy, and you'll have full joy. So I say, not only is this sweet communion something that's irrational and something that's incredible and something that's intimate, but it's something that's important. Sounds to me like I need it. He says, if you want joy, I'll tell you how to have it. Walk close to your God. I can't tell you the times I just fell out before the Lord. So down, so out, so defeated, so discouraged, so weak, so helpless, seemed like. Before I got up, I felt like dancing on cloud nine, let alone being on it. Because he picked me up and restored the joy and gave me my desire back. Why? Because I spent some time with the one that I love. And it made a difference. I say it's important. We need it. He desires it. And it pleases him. But I need it. I like it. I love it. But I need it. Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's needed. But it's always good. I'm not talking about just a special time. I'm not talking about just a prayer time. I'm talking about walking with him throughout the day. When you're at work, riding down the road, washing the dishes, mowing the yard, coming to church, at church, that ever-present communion with your Savior and your Lord and your best friend. And also, it's something not only that's rational and incredible and intimate and important, but it's something that's interrupted. It's something, if we aren't careful, will be broken. Not our relationship, but our fellowship. You look through the Bible at all the people who walked with the Lord but did not walk closely, and you'll find out they always ended up in trouble. Ask our brother David. Ask the lady at the Song of Solomon. All she did was just put him off for a few moments. He came and was knocking at the door, reaching in through the handle. And she said, "I've already gone to bed. If I get back up, I'll get my feet dirty on the dusty floor. I've already relaxed. I've already retired for the night. It would be so difficult for me to get up." Isn't that a dumb excuse? Hey, get up, get up, get up. He's calling. But when she finally got up, he had withdrawn himself. And I thought about this while she's searching for him through the streets and being mistreated by the ones in the town, being hurt, being harmed, being in danger because, listen, she neglected the time with the one she loved and the one that loved her. Then is when she saw him as he was. Isn't it a shame that she had to go through all that to realize how wonderful he was? How magnificent it was to him, for him to come seeking her and wanting to spend time with her. But it took her neglecting him and him leaving for her to realize how good she had it. And how much she missed his presence. And how wonderful it was to spend time with him. And sadly, sadly, before we realize how precious our walk with him is, he must reach in our lives and take some of the joy out, some of the peace out, some of the contentment out, some of the help out, to help us realize how bad it is without his presence, without his help. I'm not saying he deserves us, of course not. We're the one that deserted him. There's a distance between us. It's something that's interrupted. You see, the devil hates our communion with our Lord. And he'll do anything, and he'll do anything that works to keep us occupied on something else. preoccupied with anything. Things that will hinder our walk with Him and communion with Him. Obligations. We all have obligations. People that make demands. You always have somebody wanting you to do something. Sin also can hinder. It can interrupt our fellowship. Song of Solomon. Take the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vine. Their love was like a vineyard of grapes with juicy, ripe grapes to be enjoyed. But the little foxes could get through the man-made fences of briars and brambles and sticks and get out there and spoil the grapes. Notice how it's worded. Take us, the foxes. That word take means to seize, to get a hold of, to catch. There's a whole lot of little foxes in our lives that rob us of the joy and peace of communion with our Lord. And He says, get it by the throat. Get it by the throat. Get it out of your life. Because nothing's more important than your walk with Him and communion with Him. Hey, listen, we can injure Him. We can insult Him. We can hurt Him. I ask you first, do you know Him? I talked with people not too long ago. Far as I know, the person I was talking to has never made any kind of profession at all to be saved. And I know this person quite well. But here's what they said. When we get to heaven, the first thing I thought is, are we going? Now, I know I am, because I'm saved. And I said, when I responded to this person, that first we must be saved to go to heaven, before I even tried to explain anything about what they said to me. But it made me think about this. It made me think about this. How many people are just assuming they're going to go to heaven when they aren't going? How many people in this world think they have a connection and a communication and relationship with God, but they don't? That's why these verses talk about walking with your God. First thing is being saved, being a part of His family, being a part of His bride. So I want to ask you, do you know Him? And if you don't, tonight sure would be a good day to meet Him. And if you do know Him, I am asking us specifically, I'm talking to the person on the pew. You. What does God ask of you? What does He want of you? To have sweet communion. Do you know Him? I hope so. But I want to ask you, really, really, how close are you to Him? How much of your daily life is involved with Him and His desire and His will and His Spirit and His voice and His Word? How much time do you spend with Him one-on-one? But do you connect with Him through every aspect of your life, through the daily grind called life? He wants that. He wants to be involved with every part of our life. Let's stand together.